Hi, wine fans. This is Alan Goldfarb. Glad to be here with Lynn on iWine Radio.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
Alan Goldfarb, wine journalist, media relations consultant, is joining us today to talk about his participation in the 2014 Wine Bloggers Conference in Santa Barbara County. It just ended a couple weeks ago. It was July 11th through the 13th. This was the largest conference. In other words, they had the largest total number of registrants. And the participants included citizen wine bloggers, industry wine bloggers, and non-blogger participants, meaning media relations, professionals, friends, family, industry. And the Bloggers Conference started in 2008. This is the seventh year. And I think, Alan, as I recall, the next year is going to be on the East Coast. Do you remember?
Yes, it's going to be in the Finger Lakes, upstate New York.
That's it. That will be really interesting to be on the East Coast and see if there's a different lineup of people or more people from the East Coast. But I remember you made a comment by email that it was just a phenomenal networking of so many people who write about wine.
Let me preface my remarks and clarify something. I was not a blogger, but I was really my own observer.
Okay.
Because I went with my media relations consultancy partner, Carl Giovanti, who came down from Portland. We have a PR business. And we went there mainly to what we call RB, relationship building with the bloggers, whom we, first of all, let me preface it by saying we love bloggers, because they are becoming very rapidly the meat of our business. Much to my sadness, and it's true that traditional print media is every year diminishes, shrinks and shrinks, and the internet becomes more and more prevalent for good and for bad, and I'll get into both of those points because I have very definitive views on it, because I've been on both sides of the aisle. As a wine journalist for so long, I have printer's ink in my blood, and now for the last 5 years being on the other side, being a publicist, a flack, if you will, I can see both sides of it now. And so from those viewpoints, it was just fascinating, fruitful to us, because we did meet a lot of bloggers, but there's still a lot to be done, because blogging and wine blogging is still in its infancy, even though it's been going on for about almost 10 years now.
It's so smart of you to have done that. Were there a lot of people that were doing in the same position as you and kind of scouting other bloggers and promoting the wineries that you represent?
There were about 300 or so participants or people who signed up for this conference, and I would say there were a good half dozen PR representatives there who were probably doing the same thing that Carl and I were doing. Yes, I thought it was very astute of publicists to do this, because after all, you've got all of these so-called writers right in your midst and captive for 3 days.
Yeah. So how was it laid out? Was it like different workshops or seminars or lectures or panelists? How was it set up for those 3 days?
All of the above.
Okay.
Highlighted, and I must say parenthetically for me, low-lighted, for two speed reviewing sessions at which almost all 300 bloggers were in a large hotel conference room tweeting like crazy reviewing wines. And it was, to me, it was maddening. It was absurd to come up with anything of substance in literally maybe 15 seconds per taste of a wine.
Wow.
But you know what? It's where it's all going. And Don't get me started. But
that was a very brave winery to submit their samples to be reviewed or commented on like that.
Well, yes and no. You know, wineries, whatever opportunity they have to get some exposure,
yeah.
Just as long as you spell the name right.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
You know, it's part of it. And I bet you many of them didn't even know how the wines were being used.
Oh, boy.
I'm guessing. I don't really know that.
Yeah.
It was just fascinating. It was horrifying. And it was fun all at the same time.
Very high energy.
Oh, extremely high energy. And lest you think, as I did coming in, that these bloggers are all in their 20s and 30s, you would be amazed, because I think half of them were in their 50s, 60s, and even 70s. People who I'm guessing have retired or have money or have pensions, and this is now their hobby, to be a wine blogger, to see your name in print. And we'll get into that, because that's a really, really big concern of mine.
On the program for the 3 days, did they list the people who were judging the blogs? Because they also presented the blog, the 2014 Wine Blog Awards.
Yes, there were awards at the end of the conference. I didn't see who the judges were. So there may have been a list. I didn't see it, so I don't know who the judges were. You know, the whole phenomenon is interesting, and it's moving beyond phenomena, Lynn, because this is the way our world is going, again, for both good and bad. There's no stopping it. The best thing we can hope for is that in every industry, in every profession, the cream will rise to the top. There'll be much pain getting there. It'll take a long time. But this is the way. This is it. And from empirical knowledge, from my public relations business, when I started and when Carl started about 15 years ago, we each had databases of, I don't know, maybe there were, let's say, 600 names, and most were traditional writers from around the country. We now have a database between us of 1,200 names approximately. Even from 2 years ago, it moved from probably 60% traditional media to now where it's about 65% online media.
Whoa.
Which is why I preface my remarks by saying we love bloggers. They're becoming more and more important and integral. However, as you can imagine, and as I've observed firsthand from first of all, seeing actual writing about my clients over the years, and now seeing how they are at this conference, I can tell you, pardon my language, there is a lot of crap out there, but there are some good ones that have already emerged. Of the 65% online bloggers on our database, I'd say 90% of that is almost useless.
Yeah, that, you know, as a community college teacher and directing people who have to write a lot of papers, and college teachers, you know, everybody has an opinion. So the internet is lovely in that everybody can be posting their opinion, but whether an opinion is valid or not, you know, whether it actually is knowledgeable enough, what is the credentials behind the person that's writing or presenting something on the internet, it's not something that I would just take it with a grain of salt. As you say, most people, they're really not of any substance, or they're not going to be driving the industry or the winery's profile and increase their business. It's just people who are like diarrhea of the mouth sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you raise the larger issue, and this goes to who we are as a society globally. I think it goes to one of the reasons why our society seems to be in flux and unhinged, and people have a hard time grasping what is real, what is true. But for our purposes here today, we'll concentrate on wine.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that one of the reasons why I say we love bloggers, Carl and I have garnered articles, mentions, reviews for our clients over the years. And let's just throw out a figure. Maybe we've gotten 150 of those write-ups, what we call accolades. And I'll tell you when we come back, I'll expand on that thought.
Okay. Okay, we're going to continue our conversation with Alan Goldfarb, wine journalist, media relations consultant, public relations specialist for wineries, but he was there as an observer at the 2014 Wine Bloggers Conference. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Corey Brown, founder and general manager of Zester Daily. As a veteran journalist, I've gathered together, we have 50 journalists from around the world writing about all aspects of what you eat and drink. Come join us. Join the fun at zesterdaily.com.
Hi, my name is Greg Walter. I'm the editor and publisher of Pinot Report, the only newsletter fully focused on Western Pinot Noir. I write about Pinot because I love Pinot Noir, and I'd like you to keep listening to Lynn on Wine and Dine Radio.
Hi, I'm Mary Orlin. I am the wine fashionista, and I invite you to join me on my blog, winefashionista.com.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain. Welcome to Wine and Dine.
I think perhaps so far the most interesting and telling insight that Alan Goldfarb just shared with us in our first segment of our conversation is that, contrary to what you would imagine, that the bloggers out there are would be 20 or 30 year olds, they're 50, 60, 70 year olds. I'm quoting here from the most recent press release sent out by the Wine Bloggers Conference communication manager, and that is that the conference is a reflection of the global interest of the world of wine and what is communicated about wine brands, products, and wine lifestyle. And Alan, as you said, you were talking about truth, and what is your response to this? You know, wines that are, you know, the clients that you represent, where they're creating wines that are from a place, communicate, that have a provenance, those are maybe perhaps considered more truthful wines than wines that are just blended from different states, from different regions, that really don't have their origin or their birth anywhere on the label, so people don't know what they're getting other than it's white or red.
Well, again, this is a big subject that you raise. The truth is that I don't know the exact number, but probably 85 or higher percent of wine that comes out of the U.S. and maybe the world now is corporate wine.
Yeah.
Much of which has no sense of place and is just fermented wine juice in a bottle. And you know what? You can extrapolate that state of affairs to the wine blogosphere, because most of it is precisely like that, has no originality, no original thought. And matter of fact, I have an article posted right now in the July-August issue of the Grapevine magazine, which is a trade publication, about originality of writing. And the reason why I wrote about this subject is because I was telling you about all of the accolades that we've gotten our clients over the years. Lynn, I can tell you from firsthand knowledge that a vast majority of those write-ups that we have gotten is 90% regurgitation of our
press release
media kit that we send out to these writers for background. Now, on one hand, we're grateful, truly grateful, that they've written about our client, and we hope they spell our client's name right. But when I put my wine journalist cap on, pisses me off because there's no original thought there. It's just regurgitation, and it's just, you know, folks love to get their name in print, to see their name in print. It's a big ego boost. Without doing too much work, and I have a journalism degree. I have, since I was in grade school, I wanted to be a journalist, not a wine journalist, of course. And I worked hard for it, and I've been writing, been a journalist for 40 or more years, and then I see most of these bloggers come along, and there's just no no real desire to be original, to really know very much about wine. And I can tell you that at this conference, one of the panels that I sat on, and by the way, this is blowing up all over the internet today, as a matter of fact, albeit on the wine internet, about the atmosphere at this conference.
Really?
Yes, it is. And there was one panel at which there were, quote unquote, three old print white men. And that's true. There were very little women on the panels at these conferences. There's very little diversity at the conference and on the panels. So these were three of my colleagues and some friends. Steve Hymoff,
yes,
who just left Wine Enthusiast. There was Mike Dunn of Sacramento Bee. And Jim Conaway, the author of several books, including the iconic Napa.
Okay.
Which he wrote, I think, in the early 80s. And they were in this room in front of these bloggers, telling them of their experience. Each had at least 30 years of writing, and how they did it. And they also took these writers to task. One of them said, you know, maybe of the 300 in this room, maybe one or two will emerge as real wine writers. Of course, they didn't like that.
Yeah.
They were on their devices. Hopefully, they were tweeting about the conference. But I can tell you, there was a woman sitting in front of me at the seminar with her laptop open, and she was not 4 feet away from me, so I can see her laptop. What was she doing? She was shopping, online shopping.
Oh, so she just, I mean, oh my gosh, so, oh wow. So she just wanted to be able to put on her resume that she was there.
Well, there I bumped into a couple of bloggers who said that they just started their blog a week before. Why? Because there are different pay tiers to get into the conference. If you're a blogger, you paid $95. If you were industry, it's $300 to $400, something like that. So to say that they had a blog, they were able to get in for $95. I can tell you two other incidents that go to my point. During another seminar at which there were two bloggers who presented, they were not wine bloggers, they were bloggers from a different industry. They asked, there must have been 60 people in the room, they asked, how many of you make your living blogging about wine? Not one hand.
Yeah.
How many of you want to make a living? About half raised their hands. And so the woman on the dais said, well, you know, there are other ways to get compensation. And about half the people in the room, sotto voce, although there were so many people, it was loud enough when she said there are other ways to get compensation, they said, wine. They giggled.
Oh, boy.
Meaning free samples.
Mm.
And so, you know, there are great perks writing about wine. There are trips. There are dinners.
Yes.
There are lunches. There are wine.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to do it?
Yeah.
May I tell you one other incident?
Yes.
At the final dinner at which the awards were announced, and by the way, I'd like to, you know, before we finish, not right now, but tell you who I think are some of the best bloggers in the country, because there are some. A young woman, probably in her mid-30s, was sitting next to me and at this dinner, and she asked me, so what did you think of that panel, referring to the one I just mentioned, at which the three print journalists were? And I threw it back at her, and I said, well, after all, what did you think? Because it was aimed at you. And the first thing she says, it's time to move on.
Yes.
Well, that ticked me off because I said, what do you mean it's time to move on? I know the importance of bloggers. They acknowledge the importance of bloggers. So are you telling me that they have no use whatsoever any longer and there's nothing to be learned from them?
What'd she say to that?
Well, no, that's not what I, you know, hemming and hawing.
Wow. Alan, this conversation definitely will be continued, and we thank you for listening to Wine and Dine.
You're listening to iWine Radio.